You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, joined with co-host Walker Moore, popular author, columnist, missionary. How are you, Walker?
I'm doing fine, and I'm excited about having our special guest today.
I am too. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it and welcome him on?
Well, I've known him for a long time. I've admired him longer than that. His name is Keith Wheeler, and he's out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he carries a cross all around the world, and a lot of people know Author Blessed. But I'm going to tell you that once you meet Keith, you understand what he does and what he does for the kingdom. So, Keith, welcome to the program.
What a treat. I'm excited to be on with you, and I'm excited to talk about Jesus.
That's all you talk about is Jesus. Every time I've been around you, you talk about Jesus. And that's why I love you. Keith, can you tell us how you got started in this picking up the cross, and how old were you, and do you think you could be doing it this long, and just kind of give us your story?
Well, with God's grace and his help, back in 1985, I felt like God spoke to my heart, and many times people say, okay, what did that sound like? And I can't say that it sounded like anything. I think the only way that I could describe it was if ever you've seen a cow or some sort of animal be branded. I felt like God branded my soul. And I felt like he said, I want you to make a large wooden cross and begin walking through the streets of Tulsa on Good Friday. And I honestly thought that's the dumbest idea I ever had. I attributed it to eating too much pizza and Fruity Pebbles. I had to be a digestion. I thought I need to open the nearest window and get some fresh air. I thought maybe I should rebuke the devil. But three times this happened. And I had been praying, you know, what should I do next?
And how old were you when this happened?
This was back in 1985, so I was 25 years old. And I said, well, Lord, I know somebody else is carrying a cross. You mentioned Author Blessed, and at that time, I did not know anything about Author Blessed. But at our local Walmart, there was a guy who dressed in a toga, and he had a big cross and a bullhorn, and scripture verses painted on the side of his van, and he yelled at everybody. And I thought that's what God was calling me to do. And my way out was, Lord, you've got somebody. You don't need another man. And in fact, I don't want to be like another man. I want to be just like you, Jesus. And God always deals with the heart. And I felt like he said, son, that's the most religious excuse you could ever give me. I felt like he said, if you remember, anyone can carry a cross. Simon carried my cross. Anyone can die on a cross. Two thieves died beside me. But only one could die for the sins of the world, and I did it for love. And I want you to take that cross and identify my message of love in the highways and the roadsides of this world. I had felt like God was saying that if he had called me to preach, I would be honored to preach. I wouldn't say, but you've got Billy Graham, you've got all those pastors and youth pastors, you've got evangelists. And I would have been honored. God goes to the heart. I felt like he was showing me that I just didn't want to have people look down on me. I didn't want people to think that I was strange and that I was weird. And so that made sense to me. And I said, well, God, you know, that sounds good, but could you give me a sign? And not 5 minutes later, I hadn't spoken to anybody in my family. The telephone rang. And that's back when phones were on the walls. And you had to dial the numbers around or at least push the buttons. And this guy on the other end of the line says, Keith, this is really strange, but last year, on Good Friday, back in Louisville, Kentucky, my pastor pastor and my best friend made a cross and began walking through the streets of Louisville. And I feel like God wants you and me to make a large wood cross and start walking through the streets of Tulsa on Good Friday. I looked up and I prayed, Lord, that was pretty good. Can you give me one more sign? So I cannot be ever accused of being a man of great faith, but I can be accused of being a man of God's great mercy and his great grace.
Mm. Amen.
I went to class the next morning. I was in a homiletics, a preaching class, and we were going alphabetical. Well, my last name is Wheeler, and that begins with a W. We were at the middle of the alphabet, the M's, Martin, Matthews, Miranda, Miller. But the professor, for some reason, said, Keith, next week, which would be Wednesday, 2 days before Good Friday, I want you to speak. And normally the student could select his text to speak on. And he says, for some reason, I feel like you're supposed to speak from Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And I opened my Bible, and it said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so that was the beginnings. And I did walk on that Good Friday. We carried the cross 36 miles through Tulsa. And then on some subsequent weekends for the next few months, kind of the final push was later that year at the end of September, 1st of October. And once again, it was this strong impression, almost burning in my soul. I want you to take the cross to Cape Town, Durban, in Pretoria, South Africa. Mm. And I never had heard of those names. I didn't know anything about South Africa, except it was a very dangerous place in 1985. I really wasn't even aware of the political situation. And I made every excuse because this didn't make sense. Not that carrying a large cross ever made sense. But I wrestled and I said, Lord, you know, it's dangerous and I don't have enough money. And what about my family? And what about my school? And I've got a great job. And how do you get a 12-foot long wooden cross on an airplane? That just doesn't make sense. And I said, no. After 2 weeks of wrestling, I finally said no. Nothing for two more weeks. And two more weeks later, so it's 1 month to the day, I was assigned another assignment and another homiletics 2 class for us to watch Christian television. And remember, this is 1985, so this is before the internet. This is before everybody had computers. And this is, in my home, we didn't even have satellite or cable television. We had rabbit ears, where you had, in fact, ours was
old school.
It was. Ours was a coat hanger with tinfoil on the top, and you had to move it a certain way and hold your mouth a certain way, hold up your foot one leg.
That was my job as a child, to move the rabbit ears around for my dad.
So you understand it. And I'd never watched Christian television before. I never had seen an Oral Roberts, Jimmy Swagger, Jim Baker, Pat Robertson. I knew all the names. I just never had seen them. I didn't have time. And the first words I ever heard on Christian television, because I got the ears just right, were these words: who has carried a cross around the world is with us today. Arthur Blessing, come up here and tell us what God is saying. I never had even heard the name of Arthur Blessing. It was the first time. And he stands up and he says, well, brother, God has been calling someone to take a cross to Cape Town, Durban, and Pretoria, South Africa. And they didn't go. He said, I've always asked God to call someone first. And if no one goes, he said, I'll be your garbage man. I'll go where you go. I'll do what nobody else will do. He says, and I just said, I'll say yes. I'm leaving next week. And Arthur Blessing went in my place in 1985 to South Africa. And I made a commitment. God, I would rather miss your will trying to obey than not do anything at all. And so I tell people at this point, maybe I've missed it. Maybe God just wanted me to preach the cross around the world. I may get to heaven one day. He may scratch wanted you to do was preach the cross around the world. I think he'll say, thanks for trying. And so with his help, I took my first steps overseas in 1987. And now, by the grace of God, I've carried the cross through many, many nations. Depends on how you count nations.
It's like 175, haven't you? That's close, isn't it, 175 nations you've been to?
It depends on how you... I've been over 175 nations, for sure. Then it's, you know, is Taiwan a country? Is Palestine a country? Is Puerto Rico a country? Some people would even consider Alaska and Hawaii countries. Depends on the organization that counts countries. On the high end, I've been in over 210, and on the safe end, where there's no exaggeration allowed, just over 180 countries now. And the actual distance around the world at the equator, if you add up all the journeys together. I've even carried the cross down in Antarctica. It's been through many nations at war. It's been with many of the groups that are well known around the world for causing different disturbances. It's been the cross. I've been in jail many times. The cross has been in jail much more than me. I've been stoned with rocks. I've been beaten and left for dead twice. The last time I was unconscious for 3 weeks.
Wow.
So tell us one about one of those stories that where you were, you know, I know you've been run over. I know many of your stories, but tell us one that how God got you through that. Because carrying the cross is not an easy thing, especially when you cross in the world that is anti-Christians and stuff. So can you just share one of your stories with that? Because I think it would bless our readers to hear what you go through to carry the cross.
Well, I think first of all, what I go through is the joy. Mm-hmm. And there's the presence of Jesus. I truly, truly believe with all my heart that God has not called me primarily to carry the cross to reach others. But I think he's called me to carry the cross so that he could reach me in a very unique way. I get all those days, all those miles. So I tell people sometimes I go to a country and the only person I know there is Jesus. The only one who speaks my language is Jesus. The only one who knows where I'm going to sleep is Jesus. So that has been the joy of the journey. That's been the strength of the journey. And it's the same thing when I face difficulties and challenges. And I'll just tell two stories as quickly as possible and show the contrast of how he has worked. The one is probably my most miraculous, one of the most outwardly, seemingly miraculous stories. And I just share it only God understands what happened. I don't understand what happened that night. But as I was carrying the cross from Panama to Mexico, we were sleeping in an old, we called it our Scooby-Doo van. It was an old van that we had bought. It looked like an old hippie van. And we would sleep in the back end of it. And in the middle of the night, we'd made it through all the wars. We'd come up from Panama, actually where I was put in jail for a short time under Noriega's regime. We made it through across Costa Rica, where there's no war, but Nicaragua, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, all of those civil wars. But finally made it to Mexico, and we thought we're home, we're safe. But the southernmost state is called Chiapas, and it's been in conflict for years, and we were unaware of that. And one night, in it's a jungly state, we heard a knocking, a banging on the van's door, and I opened it, and people would normally come in the middle of the night. They'd want to talk about Jesus. They'd want to give us food. And that's what I thought it was. So I stepped out and they closed the door behind me, and the cross was between me and them. It was leaning up against the door. So my left hand is on the cross. I closed the door with my right hand. And someone grabs I had a t-shirt on. They grabbed me by the t-shirt, pulled me forward. And had the cross not been there, I would have fallen to the ground. But the cross kept me from falling, but something hard hit my face. It was dark. Even had there been, you know, just a clear night, sun out, we wouldn't have been able to see the sky because of the jungle canopy. And they're yelling at me, and you know, at 2 a.m, I barely speak English. And as I began to understand, though, as my eyes adjusted, what I just hit hard on my face, was causing my mouth to bleed, was a gun. And there were 6 or 7 guys in front and 10 or 12 behind, and they were all holding automatic weapons. And they're yelling, "We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you."
Wow.
And I thought, you got the wrong guy. Oh, and in my head, I'm thinking, Scooby-Doo then. They think we're dealing with drugs. So I just hold up my hands and said, "No drugs, no drugs. This is a holy cross." I'm saying it in Spanish. I said that we've been walking from Panama to Mexico. Maybe you've seen this in the news. We've been on television. We've been on the newspapers. And they point their guns at me and say, "One." I said, no. Jesus died on the cross like this so you could be forgiven. He rose again. He's alive. You can know him. Ask him into your heart. You can know that you'll live with him forever. 2, and they put the clips in. You know, I hear, scared the Spanish right out of me. All I could remember was, "Jesus loves you. Jesus, I just, Cristo te ama, Cristo te ama." And I held up, I had a little pocket Bible, and I just held up my little pocket Bible. And I'm saying, "Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you." And I don't know how to describe it except to say it this way. If ever you've seen, I'm old enough now, movies at the cinema used to be film. And sometimes the film would get cranked. And they would straighten it out, but you would miss like 8 frames. And you didn't really know what happened in between those frames. You didn't miss much, but you missed 8 to 10 frames. Somehow I missed the frame because they were standing right there. They were so close, they just hit me in the face. But the next moment, they're 30 or 40 yards backwards, laying flat on their backs. Their guns are scattered every place. They're covering their faces with their hands and with their arms. And they're screaming like little girls, and they're saying, "Ay, ay, la luz, es muy brillante, es muy fuerte." My understanding is that means the light. It's too strong. It's too bright. And they left their guns, and they were jumping as fast as they could into their truck, spinning gravel. And now they drove back and forth, and people say, "Well, why didn't you run?" Well, 1, where do you go? 2, they knew the jungle like the back of the hand. And 3, when you start running, when do you stop? I never saw a light. I never felt anything. Did they see a lightning bug and God put 100,000 watts in his taillight? Or was it an angel stepped out from glory and just said, "It's not his day"? Or maybe Jesus himself said, "I've numbered his days and today's not that day." So I don't know, and it doesn't matter. All I know is somehow, some way, God spared us in that moment. Mm-hmm. The other side of that kind of story is, I'm walking down the road in Uganda one day, and this pickup pulls up and drives as slow as I'm walking, about 4 miles an hour. It's almost sunset. And the guy says, "Get in the car." And I said, no, brother, I'm God's called me to walk. I'm walking around the world with a cross for Jesus." "Yes, I know that. But if you don't get in the car, it will be bad." I said, no, it's okay. I'm carrying this cross as a reminder. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He's alive. You can be forgiven. You can know him. You can live with him. "Yes, I know that. But if you don't get in the car, you will die." I said, peace, brother. "It's okay. You don't have to be upset." And he goes, "Me? Not me. The lion, it will eat you." And he pointed, and about 15 yards away from me, just on the side of the road in the high grass, was a male lion. So I tell people, I got in the car. So it wasn't any supernatural. God used a very natural means to protect me. I still have a picture of that lion. I just made contact the other day with my friend I haven't talked with. He was with me that night in southern Mexico. Just reconnected with him about a month ago. And it's fun to retell the story with him and see his perspective, identical to mine. I don't understand. But I do know when we step out in God's hands, he has already numbered our days. And I don't know how many times I've showed up at a border and I've said, if they say you can't come through, we'll shoot you. So you do what you've got to do, but I've got to do what I'm going to do. My days are numbered, and if you don't shoot me and I'm supposed to die today, a bear's going to eat me, or maybe a plane's going to run out of gas and fall on my head. But I'll die today. But I don't think today's my day. I think I'm supposed to keep going down this road. And so that means that no matter if you're the best shot in the Army, in the whole nation, and today is not my day, you're going to wonder why you couldn't shoot me. Mm-hmm. Either why your bullet wouldn't hit or why it wouldn't click. But I've got to keep walking down this road. And if you'd like to know why you couldn't shoot me today, I'd love to have dinner with you tonight and talk with you about it. God bless you.
Keith, I know you have a lot of these stories.
Wow.
And you know, I've heard so many of them and been blessed by every one of them. But you just finished making your trip all the way around the world. And I was had the privilege, you invited me to come and to walk with you the last few steps or your last little bit as you completed your journey around the world. And you said something that I thought was really amazing. And I wrote about you, and I sent you the article in the Baptist Messenger, but it said, I asked you, how does it feel to finish? And you said it wasn't finishing. It was your first lap.
Hmm.
So are you continue to carry the cross? Is that your future plans? And when are you going to write your book? I've been asking that for years.
Well, actually, I'm in my study to be working on the book. And actually, I just got home 5 days ago from carrying the cross way up north in the Northwest Territories of Canada. The high one day was minus 32. I'm not talking wind chill. I'm talking just regular temperatures.
Wow.
And beautiful, precious people there. And God willing, my sweet wife and I are leaving on Friday, 2 days from the day we're speaking. And we're going to be carrying the cross down. And we've got 5 more nations in the Caribbean too. And then we will have completed all of the nations in the Caribbean area. And so it's just a continuation of a journey. It's a pilgrimage. Jesus said it best, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, every creature, every nation. And
Keith, I know that with the cross, you don't stand on the street corner yelling at people going by. But you just walk, and God brings people to you all the time. I mean, just people come up, you know, and they want to carry the cross with you and stuff. And you give them little stickers, don't you? This says, smile, God loves you. I've seen you do that many times. Little children comes and follow you, and you just have anointing on your life that God has, you know, uniquely put on you. That everywhere you go in the world, you attract people to you just to share softly the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. But you have something special that you and I have in common. You and I were supposed to climb Mount Kilimanjaro together.
Yes.
And no one has ever carried a cross at Mount Kilimanjaro. And one day I asked you, I said, Keith, how do you thank Jesus for, at that time in my life, 40 years of ministry? And he said, no one's ever carried a cross at Mount Kilimanjaro. And I couldn't shake that. I mean, that's one of those things, like when God called you to the cross, because I went and looked on the internet and it says, more people die climbing Mount Kilimanjaro than Mount Everest. I said, that's not good news. You know, why is Keith talking about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro? So you and I sat down and planned, and you and I were going to carry 2 crosses. I was going to carry a cross, and you were going to carry your cross up top of Mount Kilimanjaro. But on the way to the airport, you got a call from your family, and your daughter had kidney failure. And you had to leave the team and go be with your daughter, and you left me alone on the side of Mount Kilimanjaro, not knowing what to do. But you went back later, and you were the first person to ever raise the cross up on top of Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest freestanding mountain in the world, and to lift it up over that country, which you love so much. Can you share a little bit about your journey up Mount Kilimanjaro and carrying the cross? I had 14 people with me. You had yourself and your wife, and you carried the cross by yourself, and your cross weighs twice as much as mine. So, I mean,
it's the hardest thing I've ever done.
And so your cross is bigger than my cross. So.
I would say I carried the cross checked with my wife, just so I'm making sure, at least 85% of the way on that journey.
My goodness.
The very last night, our common friend Emmanuel, our guide, pulled me aside and said, you know, we're going to carry the cross this afternoon up higher than our base camp. We went up to over 17,500 feet, and we left the cross. He says, but tomorrow we're going to, you've carried it all the way, but we have to carry it because we want you to make it, and we want you to lift the cross up. So I reluctantly agreed because I didn't want to be taken down the mountain. As you know, if you show signs of, you know, the embolism, pulmonary problems, they make you come down. And so I reluctantly agreed. But once we got past that very lip, they gave the cross back to me, and I was able to carry it. I learned so many lessons. One of those, I mentioned our guide's name, and a very important principle for life: never take a difficult journey without Emmanuel as your guide.
Amen.
Other lessons, they tell you constantly, poli poli. It just means go slowly. Sometimes we rush off and hurry to do God's will instead of waiting on him to lead us. And kind of like Mary and Joseph, they assumed Jesus was in their midst, and they hurried back to Nazareth and left Jesus behind. Then they had to go back and find him. So poli poli. Hakuna Matata is a saying. Don't worry. Jesus constantly told us, don't worry. Don't fear. I'm with you. But one of the greatest lessons was that night you began final ascent about 11 o'clock at night. And you summit as the sun is coming up. And you do it because it's a long day, as you know, Walker. But one of the other things, coming down, I realized how true that was. And it was harder for me. I had actually broken my foot, my left foot, the week before I left. So I'm climbing this. It wasn't as hard going up, but coming down was really painful. But as we're coming down, you notice how hard that part was. That was the most dangerous part of the whole climb, and how really scary and challenging it looked. And one of the things that I learned, and it really applies to my journey, but I think to so many people's journeys, sometimes God allows us to begin things in the dark. Because if we see how difficult and scary and hard it really is, we never would have started. And we learned, what a privilege. We finished 1 year to the date after you guys had mm-hmm. summited. And you were gracious enough, although you guys made it up there, that you reserved that privilege for me to come the next year. So I was so sad we weren't together with you all, but I really think that God, in his timing and his way, wanted it to be a special time with my sweet princess, my wife, and I, to be able just to do this together with Emmanuel. And
that is awesome. Keith, thanks for sharing those testimonies, and I love that you all each got to experience what God can do through carrying the cross. As we come to the end of our time, Keith, how can people connect with you or follow your journeys or see photos? What's the best way?
We have the easiest website maybe ever. It's kw.org. It's Keith Wheeler, so it's kw.org. And if you forget Keith Wheeler, think about what I do. I keep walking, or I keep witnessing.
Amen.
So kw.org.
That's awesome. Well, we sure appreciate you coming on today. And I know, Walker, thank you for walking us through the interview. You, of all people, know what it's like to taste carrying the cross. And Keith, we just admire what the Lord has done through you. We praise God for what he's accomplished. And we thank you for coming on this episode today.
Thank you for the honor. Jesus is so very worthy. God Amen. Bless you.
Thank you, Keith.
Amen.
Give your bride a hug for me.
I'll do it. Great talking to you. Let's connect soon.
God bless, man.
Bye. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.